In preparation for Roy's lesson this morning, we have been provided with an outline and the text for his lesson. If you'll notice, it's interactive. We have blanks for you to fill in. One of the scriptures being used this morning is from the book of Romans. I'm going to read that if you'd like to follow along. Romans chapter 8. Verses 28 to 32. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
Thank you, Kevin. What a great passage that is, isn't it? If God is for us, who in the world could ever be against us? Good to be back. In case you didn't notice, I wasn't here last Sunday. But I do appreciate Michael filling in the morning and Alan in the evening. I've listened to Michael's lesson, and I appreciated the words that he had to say. And I was told Alan did a great job, and I'm going to get a copy of that as well. It's great to have someone like Alan visiting who loves the Lord. You can see it in his mannerisms. You can see it in his life and his willingness to step forward too, and always have the Word of God on his lips to bring forth a lesson to God's people. So we appreciate that. Last Sunday evening, I was visiting the Church of Christ over on Foster Road in Santa Maria. It's a congregation that Ann and I and the kids used to be a part of. And it was after services, and I was talking to one of the elders, and there was another group there as well talking. And one of the ladies there said that I really need prayers for my son and daughter-in-law and three grandkids in Texas, because he's just lost his job. And he's not sure if he can get another one, and they're running out of money, and I just don't know what the family's going to do. And so the lady that she was talking to kind of put her arm around her, and it caught my attention when she said this: "I just want you to remember, dear, that everything happens for a reason." And it got me thinking, does it? Is that the truth? Or is that sort of true? You know, the thing is, we're used to hearing things and even thinking things and even saying things that seem to have been over the years so ingrained in us that we just automatically assume that they're true. But that can be very dangerous, especially when we're trying to help someone overcome a fear or an injustice. And they ask us for prayers, and rather than saying, "Okay, we'll pray for you," or "I'm really sorry to hear that," we want to come up with some magical phrase that's going to put their minds at ease. "Oh, don't worry about it. You know, everything happens for a reason." Let me ask you this. When you hear that phrase, and I'm sure we've all heard it, maybe we've thought it, maybe we've even said it, but when we hear or use that phrase, is it normally associated with bad news? or good news? Do you hear people say, you know, I can't believe it, I just got a raise at work. And someone says to them, well, everything happens for a reason. No, it's not used in that course. It's bad news. And we think that we can solve their ill feelings by coming up with this kind of phrase. Don't worry about it, just give it enough time and you'll understand the reason for it, because everything happens for a reason. But you know, there are other variations that we use for this same concept. We say things like, well, it was just meant to be. Have you heard that one before? You know, my girlfriend and I just broke up. Well, it was just meant to be. I remember many, 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 many years ago, a PSA, an airline I used to fly every week between San Francisco and Los Angeles, crashed. It crashed. I was never the same on an airplane after that. There were 200 and some souls that were lost, were people that were killed that day. I remember someone saying, well, it must have been their time. It must have been all 200 and some people's time at the same time? Is that how we explain things? Or how about this one? It must have been the will of God. Have we heard that one before? Have we thought that one before? Maybe we've even said that one before. These are spoken with good intentions. I'm not denying that. But I think it's important for God's people to understand why things happen. Does everything happen for a reason? Well, it's sort of true. It is sort of true. But not when it's applied the way that we apply it. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. And I think the foundation for people coming up with these phrases is that passage that we just read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things, we know all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. But we translate that to say, if it happens, then God did it, and there's a good reason for it. But that's not at all what this passage is saying. As a matter of fact, if you really look at this passage, Paul is not saying it as a general rule of thumb for everyone, because it doesn't apply to the majority of the world's population. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, those who follow His will, those who are children of God, those who confess Jesus Christ the Savior. Those are the ones that all things work together for good, because they love the Lord and they follow Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. So, to what extent is God involved in everything that happens in the world? To what extent? That brings into play the concept of divine providence. And divine providence is simply the way in which God governs the world. To the extent that He oversees it, that He's involved in the continuous everyday activity of the world. And they're basically, when we think about divine providences, they're basically three categories that falls into this. Now, the first one is simply this. Some people believe that God has nothing to do with anything that happens. God just kind of created the world and then He let it go. He spun it and then He kind of stepped back like an absentee landlord and let the chips fall where they may. Que sera, sera. Remember the song? Whatever will be, will be. God has nothing to do with anything that happens. That the world is living independent of God. But the Bible tells us that's not true. In Psalms 147 and verse 4, God counts the stars and calls them all by name. God, who created the universe, not only created it, but he counts the stars and calls them all by name. And it's just not the stars that he knows. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, and in talking about God's imminent relationship with all of us, we're told, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't laugh, Buzz. For Dave McGee and I, that's not a big challenge. But God knows something about you that you don't know. You don't know how many hairs on your head. God knows something about you that your parents don't know. God knows something about you that your spouse doesn't know. That shows us how intimately God knows you. And if he knows you that well, then he is intimately involved in your life. Think about this. In describing his relationship with the world in Job chapter 39, beginning of verse 1, God said this. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they bear? Do you know the time they give birth? God is so intimately involved in what's happening in the world. He knows when the doe is going to give birth. He knows the time. He sees it happen. He's that intimately involved in the lives of his creation. And because of that, we're told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own have said, we are his offspring. So the notion that God has nothing to do with anything that happens is not true. That's not what God tells us in his inspired word. The second point of view is on the other end of the spectrum. That God has everything to do with everything that happens. That God actually micromanages everything that goes on. And that was John Calvin's belief. That not even the wind blows or a drop of rain falls without God commanding it to do so. Does God really micromanage everything that's happened in this world? That everything is predetermined? It doesn't matter if we choose to follow Christ or not. It's already been predetermined. God's already taken care of that, so we have no responsibility. God's micromanaging everything. Is God behind everything bad that we see in the news? Is he the cause of everything bad that we see happen in our world? Many years ago, we had acquaintance of ours, Gina's age. Their son went to St. Joseph High School. He graduated. He was now a student at University of California, Berkeley, and studying microbiology. He was 20 years old. He was home for the summer, and he was a great street bike rider. He rode bikes long distances with his father. Dr. Bob Okelboom is his dad, a physician in Santa Maria. And he was riding on Telephone Road, and going on the same direction was a friend of his, a girl that graduated the same class, who went down to, I believe it was San Diego State. She was in a truck, and she had her cell phone with her, and she was distracted, and she ran into Eric from behind, and he died at the scene. Lives were changed forever because of what happened. Was God the cause? Is God micromanaging everything so that if I get cancer, it's because He did it to me? God gets blamed for a lot of things. It's easy. We have to blame somebody. We have to blame something. So God is the fall guy. And we blame Him. But that's not what the Bible tells us. Joshua is about to die. He dies at the age of 110 years old, and he's addressing this nation that he loves so much, that he inherited from Moses when Moses died, and he led them into the promised land. As he was about to leave this earth and join his forefathers, he said a very familiar passage to us. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the God your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the God your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. They were given a choice. They were given a choice as to who they would serve. And if God was micromanaging everything that happens in this world, we wouldn't have a choice. But God gave us a choice. And it's because of our bad choices that He had to send His Son on a rescue mission to earth. So the second point of view was God has everything to do with everything that happens. The first point of view was God has nothing to do with anything that happens. But then the third point of view is God has something to do with everything that happens. Think about that. God has something to do with everything that happens. God created us with the ability to choose. And He helps us with our choices. Right here. He encourages with our choices through answered prayer. But in the end, He gives us the freedom to choose. God can nudge us. He can stir us. But He gives us that choice. A few months ago, my oldest son seemed to think I needed an Apple Watch. He gave me an Apple Watch. One of his Apple Watches. And it has a prompt on it, a health app. And once in a while, I don't know how it works, but once in a while it will buzz me. It kind of vibrates on your wrist, and you look at it, and it says, stand up. It's a health app. Stand up. Well, I don't want to stand up. So I just hit the dismiss button, and then it goes away. God's Word nudges us. It will tap us on the shoulder and will say, stand up. Stand up for me. Stand up for my word. Stand up for my son. We have the choice. We can either do it, or we simply hit the dismiss button and we go on about our life. But the choice is always up to us. Within God's involvement in our lives, He has something that's called purposive will. God has something to do with everything that happens because he causes some things to happen. We see in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. He caused them to happen. It didn't happen by the Big Bang Theory. It didn't happen by anything other than God creating it himself, because he caused it to happen with just words, with just his voice. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that world, that he gave his only son. He caused it to happen. It's part of his purpose of will for us. Revelation chapter 4 and 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God causes things to happen. But then there is God's permissive will. And this is where we have a problem. This is where we have a problem. Because this is an area where God permits things to happen. He doesn't cause them to happen, but he permits them to happen. So everything that happens in this world is either because God caused it to happen, or God permits it to happen and decides not to intervene. He permits it to happen, and he decides not to intervene. There are events that he permits, that he allows to happen, that we wish he didn't, that we truly wish he didn't. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. He wanted it to happen, but he gave him the choice, and he did not intervene. God is sovereign and rules over this world, but that doesn't mean that he causes or that he approves of things that happened. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17 said, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Are hands shedding innocent blood today? All you got to do is turn on the news any day, and you see this happening. God hates divorce. Is there divorce in our land? Is there divorce in our church? Yes. God hates it. He wishes it didn't happen. But he permits it in that he gives us the ability to choose. And that's the way he governs the world. God didn't cause Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. God didn't cause Cain to kill Abel. God didn't cause David to sleep with Bathsheba. But he allowed it to happen, because he gives us the freedom to choose. So, in looking at this, then we see there are three causal factors, three causes of things that happen. Number one, God causes things to happen at his choosing. He chooses to make things happen, and he chooses not to intervene in things that are happening. So God is one cause. Free will beings are another cause of things that happen. Us, the decisions that we make. Satan is also a free will being, and he causes things to happen in our lives by the choices we make as well. So either God made them happen, free will beings make them happen, one more, or natural law. Laws that God has put into place that cause floods. that cause earthquakes, that cause tornadoes, that cause diseases. So if something's happening in the world, it's based upon one of these three things. Either God caused it, God permitted it, or it's part of natural law. The problem is we try to figure it out. We try to figure it all out in our minds, like we have the answer as to why these things are happening. But I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 55. God is explaining something to us. Because in our limited perspective of life, we try to think we know it all, and we don't. God sent His Son to redeem us, but to also show us His character. Jesus said, "If you've seen God, me, you've seen the Father." We see the character of God in His Son. But we don't know all His thoughts. We don't know all His ways. And He explains that in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Do you think that we think like God? Do you think we understand His ways, why everything happens? He's telling us we don't. And He's telling us we never will. Think about it this way. The distance between the earth and the sun is 93 million miles. 93 million miles between the earth and the sun. Traveling at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles, not an hour, not a minute, but per second. It takes 8 minutes for that ray of sun to leave the sun and to hit the earth. 8 minutes. So that means as we walk out the door today and we look up at the sun, we're not actually seeing the sun as it is, but we're looking into the past. What about this? The closest star system to the earth is the Alpha Centauri. It's 25 trillion miles. 25 trillion miles, or 4.37 light years away from Earth. We can't even imagine how far away that is. 25 trillion miles. And yet, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He is God. We are not. So I want to take us back just 1 second as we close. Back to Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The two words I want us to look at is all things. And you know what? Going back to the original language, you know what all things meant? It meant all things. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. It means the good things. It means the ordinary things. And it means the bad and the tragic things. But we want to know now. We want them to work out now. God's saying, my ways are higher than your ways. The promise to us, the promise He's making to us, is that in the end, His will be done. And for His people, all things will work out for good. Nothing is beyond God's scope of providence. Nothing is beyond His control. And He promises us in Revelation chapter 21, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Maybe we won't see the good in this life that comes from some of the difficult things that we're going through, some of the challenges, some of the deaths and the issues of life that we're faced with. But God has promised us there'll be a time when there'll be no more injustice, no more worry, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. And in that way, the statement that I heard at Foster Road is true. Everything will work out for good. Everything does happen for a reason. But the reason is it happens for the glory of God. We just have to have faith in that. If you're here this morning, we can help you in any way in your life to overcome whatever challenges you're facing. We want to do that. If you've not yet become a child of God, that's the biggest step you'll ever take in your life, because it leads to Romans 8:28. If we can help you do that too, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.